Even though it's in a technological sense, I'm so glad to be with you today. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to speak with you. And so as I was thinking about this, my topic is, what was the ultimate cause of the servant's suffering? I remember years ago, I was in a conversation with some people that I used to work with. I actually worked in the juvenile court, and there was a lady who came and did some groups with us, and we were standing around, I think, after one of her groups and talking, and I remember the discussion came around to the crucifixion of Jesus. And in the midst of that discussion, somewhere along the line, I just said something to the effect, well, yeah, the Jews were very upset with Jesus. They were angry with him, so they killed him. Well, this lady looked at me with kind of a gotcha look on her face and very immediately said, well, actually, it was the Romans who killed him. I wasn't planning to be precise when I said what I said, so what I said wasn't exactly wrong, but obviously there was more to be said. And what she said was right. The Jews did not. They hated Jesus. They disagreed with him. They wanted to get rid of him. They would have liked to have killed him on their own, but they didn't have the power of capital punishment. They weren't allowed to do that, and they wanted everything to be above board and with authority. And so, yes, they took him to the governor, Pilate. They turned him over to the Romans, and they are the ones who actually nailed him to the cross and killed him. But even that doesn't tell the whole story. When we come right down to it, who was it that took Jesus' life? Who was it ultimately that killed him? And the answer, very simply, is it was God the Father. In Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28, it says, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand to be done." There were all kinds of other players there. There were all kinds of things going on, and other people were involved in all of that. But ultimately, it was his Father who put him to death. Some hundreds of years later, or back in Genesis, we have the story about Abraham, and where God told Abraham to take his son and take him up on a mountain and put him to death to kill him. Abraham went to do that, of course, as we know, and then God stopped him. But the question we might ask is, how could a loving God actually ask somebody to do that? How could a loving God ask somebody to kill their son? Well, hundreds of years later, God actually did what he had asked Abraham to do. He took the life of his son. He killed his son, his only son. In Isaiah 53:4, it says, "We esteemed him smitten, stricken by God." And notice benefits that we receive from this. Isaiah 53:6, that wonderful verse. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord, God the Father, laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. We look at other verses and see what they say. Verse 4 says, "He has borne our griefs." They were our griefs, and yet Jesus took them upon himself. "He carried our sorrows." They were our sorrows, and yet he lifted the heavy burden for us that was ours to bear. Verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions." He was actually mortally wounded for us. They were our transgressions, and Jesus is wounded for them. "He was bruised for our iniquities." That's not the idea of somebody just hitting you on the arm and causing a little bruise as we usually think of it. But this is the idea of the fact that he was crushed for our iniquities. Now, look at this and notice the equation of all of these. We are guilty. He is not. He was punished. He suffers for our guilt. And we do not. What a wonderful thing. Second part of verse 5, again in Isaiah 53, says, "The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by His stripes we are healed. This was all according to the predetermined plan of God. It wasn't that God had a plan or God was letting things go and everything went haywire, and so He had to step in and kind of do this, use the great power that He has to do this. No, it was His plan, His predetermined plan from all of time. And so not only did God bruise His Son, not only did He take the life of His Son, but notice what verse 10 says. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Father to kill Him. Now, in what way is the Father pleased in the death of His Son? Well, the Lord was pleased with the sufferings of His Son, not because He takes delight in the suffering of the innocent. It's not the point at all. And not because His Son was in any way guilty or deserved to die. Obviously, we know that. And not because God was ever displeased with anything He did or taught. He was perfect in all that He did or taught. But God was pleased to bruise His Son because His Son was willing to suffer greatly in obedience to the Father to redeem His elect people. And if you think about it, too, this also gives God great glory because it displays at the same time both His justice and His mercy. The absolute holiness of God is put on display in the death of Jesus. Justice is served. Sin is punished. And also, the boundless grace of God is put on display as well. The suffering of Jesus would result in the pardon of an innumerable multitude of people from every people, tribe, tongue, and nation. What a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I like to say that this is my favorite verse in all the Bible. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. How does that work? How is it that Jesus became sin for us? How is it that we become the righteousness of God in Him? Very simply, Jesus did not sin. There are people that say He became a sinner. He did not ever. He was not a sinner. He did not become a sinner. But when He hung on the cross, God was punishing Him for all of our sin. God was punishing Him for the sins of all of His elect. In other words, we did the crime, He is doing the time. We did the crime, He is the one who is totally punished for it. And what do we get out of that? God, while He treats Jesus on the cross as if He is a sinner, He treats us as if we are as righteous as His Son. That is so amazing, so overwhelming, that we should never get tired of thinking about it. It's a wonderful thing. Romans 8:32, who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, for our sins, the one who appeased the wrath of God on our behalf. And notice this, it's not like, okay, we're running around looking for God and we really want God and we're really trying to do the right thing. And so God steps in because we are and He does this for us. No, we weren't looking for God. We did not want God at all. But in His love, He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What a marvelous thing. And so, what do we see here in all of this? In all of this, we see the great love of the Father and the Son. For us, the Father crushed His own Son. And for us, the Son willingly received it and poured out his own soul voluntarily to death. Praise the Lord and amen.